Would you want to show us? Give us the spirit of wisdom and understanding and revelation. We need light. Show us what we haven't seen yet. We confess to you our mind is so limited. And yeah, really, we need your wisdom. Speak to us through this epistle. Cleanse this whole meeting, all the saints who participate. We need your anointing. We need your Holy Spirit. And bless all of us. May you be glorified in this time. The time passes so quickly. Now we're at the end of the year already. Can you imagine that? The year seems to be so short. It passed by so quickly. Oh, so fast we are at the end. Yeah, soon 2023 is coming and so many more things will happen. We all have to prepare. That's really important. Peter in chapter 3, he said he's coming soon. That's what he said before. And yeah, now it's 2,000 years. Yeah, what Peter wrote is especially important for us today. We live in the end of the ages, of this age. The Lord said to his disciples, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Therefore go, and I will be with you to the end of the age. He speaks of the end of the age. Don't you think? We now live in the end of the age. This age is coming to an end. But the Lord will confirm this even more. But everybody is waiting that he's coming. Inwardly, we have the sense that the Lord is coming soon, that the time is very near. John said it, James said it, and Peter said it too. And Paul also said it, that the time is near. Don't you have such a sense that the time is near? I just listened to the last presentation that Toby gave. That's an important topic. Are we already living in the last 7 years? Of course you will say, nobody knows. What do you think the apostles at that age, they thought the Lord is coming at their time? With this expectation, this expectation isn't wrong. We have to have the same expectation that the Lord is coming again, especially at our time. When, if they expected him 2,000 years ago so much, that and they expected him to come at their time, and they lived that way. Yeah, they prepared for the coming of the Lord. And that's what Paul wrote in Thessalonians. What do you think 2,000 years later? We today live in this special time. Yeah, the whole world, so many things happen. These are signs of the times that the Lord will come in our time very soon. Doesn't matter if the people say, no, he doesn't come yet. At the time of the apostles, also the people said, and they mocked them. And you think the Lord is coming soon. But then it's so quiet. And then the whole situation is okay. Then they think he won't come. But we know in our inner, in our heart, we know that the Lord is coming soon. Therefore, Peter is very important for all of us. And I think you all have memorized these three chapters. It's only three chapters, so you might as well. So short, but so important. It's the second epistle of Peter. In the first letter, yeah, he brought out very some important things, many important things. Also from our he talked about our wonderful faith, how it is being tested. It has to be tested. Because our being, our nature is so mixed up. It's not that the faith that we have received is so unclean, so mixed, but because we have received this faith and we are so mixed up. But this faith that we have received, we have trouble because we have so many doubts. Don't you have any doubts? I see Rollo. Yeah, Rollo is translating. Is your faith so strong? Did you never doubt? We often doubted. Although we received the faith, and that's why our faith has to be tested through fire and has to be cleansed. So that this precious faith can be purified, that it can be true in us. That's why Peter talked so much, that we should be holy. That is important. He said that we are born again, and we have been received the incorruptible seed, and the word stays eternally. And then he said, we are living stones. This is very important and we have to be built up still. Ask yourself, how much building up has been happening in the last 12 months? Or in the family, with the couples? Yeah, and in the whole family, how much building up? Did it stay the same? The wife does her thing and goes her way, and the husband goes their way on Sunday. Is that the building up? We still have to be built up to be a spiritual house. And Peter said, don't be teachers. Yeah, it wasn't a doctrine. When the Lord told Peter, I change your name from Simon. Yeah, from then on, your name will be Cephas or Peter. Yeah, and Peter means a stone. Christ is the rock. And we as living stones, we have to be built up. But the question is, are we living? If we are not living, but we're fleshly, and we live in our old self, then no building up will happen. Yeah, the natural stones are living, but we have to come to Him as the living stone. He Himself is the life. What a wonderful life. Such a living stone. Yeah, it's a stone that lives Christ. How Paul said, to live for me is Christ. If I live Christ, if you don't live Christ, how can you be living without Christ? We have to be built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. Praise the Lord for the priesthood. That's what Peter said to us. He didn't say it out of a doctrine, out of a teaching. He was very sure of it. The Lord changed his name. His name was Brother Stone. Is there an apostle who's called Stone? Do you know the Brother Stone? Are you Sister Stone? When he mentioned that in a first epistle of Peter, it wasn't a teaching, but it was planted in his heart. And when the Lord told him early on, when he had the revelation, you are the Christ, you are the Son of God. And then the Lord told him, and you are Peter Stone. If you were Peter, would you forget this name change? A stone. And this stone is for the building up in Zion. And Peter really saw a revelation. This stone is not just for the building up of the spiritual house, but it also shows in 1 Peter 2 that the house of God is Zion. What is Zion? And the Lord is the cornerstone. Is that not wonderful that the Lord gave us this name? Not just as a name, and not just Zion as a name, but it's the city of the living God, yeah, the heavenly Jerusalem. It's his kingdom. What we should have in our consciousness today is, Lord, we are for your kingdom. And Peter saw so clearly in Matthew 16, and I will give you the key of the heavenly kingdom. That's the church. I want to build my church, and my church is the heavenly kingdom, and that is Zion. Do you think Peter would forget that? He never forgot that. It's not a teaching for him. Is the church a teaching for you? This is what the Lord wants to do. And Peter, he was afraid at that time. He was scared. When he wanted to stop the Lord to go to Jerusalem to suffer and die, he said out of love, Lord, no. Yeah, don't do that. Yeah, God forbid. I won't let you go. Yeah, you are Messiah, you are King. Do you really want to go there and suffer? No, that's not. Okay. Then the Lord said, go behind me, Satan. He said, go behind me, Satan. If I was Peter, I would have gotten a heart attack. What? Before you told me, I'm so blessed. You made my name Peter. And now I'm Satan. What? Yeah. Peter wasn't Satan, but he was used by Satan because he still was in his natural self. His soul life had to be denied still. His self he had to deny. He has to carry his cross. And he has to not love his soul life. That's why we need to keep these feasts. That's why we practice it, the Day of Atonement. When we atone, when we afflict our souls. Did you do that daily? Maybe not daily, but often. At least a few times a week? Or did you really forget to afflict your soul? To lose your soul? To deny your soul? To repent before the Father? This feast, this Day of Atonement, that we become one with the Father. You can't become one with the Father without denying yourself. Who wants to follow after me has to deny himself. To be saved for the salvation, you don't have to deny your soul life. But if you want to follow after him, and you want to be a first fruit, like it says in Revelation 14, these are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. Then you have to deny your soul and yourself. But to say such a verse and to have such understanding, that is easy. But the way is the renewal and the transformation. You will be changed. Or do you stay the same? Yeah, when they followed him, when they tried to follow him, the Lord, they have so many troubles. For example, the disciples, they argued, who's the highest of them? Don't you want to be greater than the other? Everybody wants to be great. But if you are truly great, then you have to be servant of all. You have to be a slave. Then the Lord showed them a little child. And he said, if you don't become like a little child, you cannot enter the kingdom, the heavenly kingdom. Yeah, there are so many troubles. But on the other hand, Peter also got a lot of revelation. Wonderful revelation. And in 2 Peter, he talked about the Mount of Transformation. Only three of the disciples he took with himself. James, John, and Peter he took with him. The Lord knew why he took these three with him to go up the holy mountain. Peter said he was an eyewitness of the majesty and the glory. Like the Lord said, some of you won't taste death. When the Lord comes in his glory, they really saw the transfiguration. They even saw Moses. Who talked about the death of the Lord. And Peter, when he said that to the Lord, God forbid that you shall die. He was an eyewitness. That's why he said, I don't tell you stories or fables. But I tell you about the reality. We have seen him. We have seen his glory. Not just his glory, but also his suffering. Even he was eyewitness of his death on the cross. And then he thought, and he never forgot that he also denied the Lord three times. If I was Peter, I would never forget that I denied the Lord three times. And I really denied him so strongly. Such a shame. Oh Lord, I'm ashamed. But such an experience was such a salvation for Peter. Otherwise, he would think, I am the greatest apostle. A great apostle who denied the Lord the three times, even he swore. Then he thought, okay, that's the end. The Lord has given up on me. I'm a useless servant. I'm not worthy to be his disciple. But to his surprise, the Lord didn't leave him. Yeah, the Lord didn't look at him with evil thoughts, but with eyes of compassion and understanding, as if the Lord said, didn't I tell you already that this will happen to you? And then he said, go to the disciples and to Peter, I'm the risen one. Yeah, he mentioned him by name, with a new name. Such experience you can never forget. They saw the resurrection of the Lord. They were eyewitnesses of his ascension. But on the other hand, we only have the teaching. We have not seen much. And that's our trouble. We have so much teaching. So what? Teaching? How do you spell teaching in German? Teaching and emptiness is very similar. It's almost the same. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's what Peter noticed, and they all, these two are very special. Yeah, and Peter, they're the cornerstones of the New Jerusalem. Do you think with just empty teaching there will be stones? It will fall. Yeah, it will be destroyed. Yeah, it will fall like a deck of like cards that you build a house with. That's when you just have teaching. Then just a little earthquake and everything falls apart. Just a few problems. Then we give up and we say goodbye. Then we can't stand it anymore. But how Peter said, we're eyewitness, that's not fairy tales that we tell you. Fairy tales are nice when I was a child. I really like fairy tales. I like listening to them. Yeah, and I collected fairy tale books when I was a child. But now they're gone. And today, if we just have fairy tales, then the fairy tales is just the empty teaching. Like the Brothers Grimm. They are very known. The Brothers Grimm. It's not a good name. It's like being angry. That's why we lift up people so much, because we like teachings, we like doctrine. We haven't gained the substance itself yet. It is tradition that we pass on, but that's not what the Lord wants. Although there are good traditions that we should keep, like Paul said, that we shall pray, that we shall be pure, that we should come to the Word. We should be like the Bereans who check, to double check what Paul said. You have to test it. You have to double check. And Paul wasn't angry. And don't you know I'm a great apostle? You have to listen to me. Okay. Go away. Mm-hmm. Paul praised them, and they said they're honorable. He tested the word, and they really checked it. Let two or three prophets teach or speak, and the other ones have to judge. If you tell the truth and the reality, you're not afraid that other people will test, will judge. They are all eyewitnesses. The second letter of Peter is very important. The first is not perfect yet. There has to be a second one. And the second letter is always more important. It is the addition to the first letter. That's a very important addition. That's what he stresses in the second letter. That's why we should appreciate the second letter that he wrote. It's short, living, and to the point. Isn't that wonderful? In the first letter, it is very living and shows us the way that we can have rich entrance into the heavenly kingdom. Not that we just almost make it. With his letter, he exposed so much wrong teaching. And in the third chapter, he emphasized what we should do, how we should prepare for his coming.
Ja.
What he wrote is not a teaching. We have too much doctrine, but not much reality. What we need to today is the experience. Not the teaching or the doctrine. And I don't mean that we don't need to read and know the truth in the Bible, but if it's just knowledge, then it, knowledge puffs up. It makes us proud, and then we argue, and then it makes our heart tighter. And then if I have a different view than you, understanding, then I cut you off. That's not good. No, I want to come to the first verse. He says, Simon Peter. Peter, come. The Lord changed your name. Why do you write Simon Peter? In the first letter, he just wrote Peter. And now he says, Simon Peter. Why, Peter, do you live by your old name? Do you love your old name? I want to ask Peter, why? Do you still have your first name? Why did you keep it? The Lord spoke to you. You are Peter. What kind of explanation will you give to Peter? Imagine you are a lawyer for Peter. What would you say? I can see Manolo. What's your answer? That's the name my father gave me, and that's why I cannot just leave it out. In my personal experience, it is good. Although the Lord forgave all my sins in the past, although in the New Testament it says, I won't remember your sins and trespasses, and His blood cleanses us from all sin. And when I sin, then we have an advocate. We have an advocate before the Father, Jesus Christ. And He is our, the mercy seat for us. But it is good to know what I was, so I can say before the Lord, I'm nothing. Otherwise, we become proud. Everybody of us has a satanic disease. It's pride. It's thinking high of ourselves. We're so wonderful. We've experienced everything. We forgot that we are nothing. And that's what I really saw in the last 60 years so clearly. Paul said, I'm the greatest among you. Did he say that? Well, oh, what did he say? I'm the greatest sinner, is what he said. He said, I'm the greatest sinner. He never forgot what he did. Not that we are condemned by the enemy. You, Paul, you're such a sinner. Well, how can you be an apostle? You're not worthy to be an apostle. It better you stop. You're disqualified. Is that the reason why Paul said, I'm the greatest sinner of them all? No. When Paul said that, it helped him to not be proud. It kept him low. This mind should be in us. This attitude, this mind to be lowered. If Paul hadn't done this before, then he would have thought, he picked me because I'm the best of the students of Gamaliel. I was so qualified and I know the scriptures, and that's why he picked me, why he selected me to be an apostle among the saints. What do you think, Christian Childs? That wouldn't be good. Yeah, if you thought that way. That really wouldn't be good. If we all are previous life, like David said, that I was conceived in sin in my mother's womb. In Psalm 51, yeah, that's where it's written. If we just look back, what's our origin? Where we come from? Yeah, what is our... I knew an elder in Asia. He was an elder for many years. In his old age, he was over 90, and he invited me. And when I came there, and I went there, and he told me, in my age, I could go any time and see the Lord. Do you know what I do daily? And he asked me, and I said, how can I know if you don't tell me? I remember the past, and I repent from many things that I did wrong, not before I was a believer, but also when I was in the church. Previously, I didn't know, but now I know. Now many things I remember, and daily I have to repent before the Lord. I never forgot what he said then. I never forgot. I thank the Lord for this visit. When I saw this brother. And during his funeral, I was also there, inadvertently. And that's why I understand well. I don't know for sure, but I will ask Peter after when I see him. Did I understand correctly why you said Simon Peter? Not why I like, because I like the name of Simon so much. Because he had this conscience. I was Simon, but now I'm Peter. I'm the stone for Zion. Before I was for myself. I was nothing. I was a fisherman. And I've done so many things. Yeah, to be a fisherman. Yeah, I had a strong temperament. He was strong. He was the oldest among them. He was the only one who was married of among the 12. It is always good to know. That's why he said, yeah, that who says they have no sin, they're short-sighted, they are blind, yeah. Not, yeah, they forgot that they have been cleansed. If we know that we have been cleansed and we haven't forgotten it, then we will be careful to not do these things again, but to go on and to be transformed. A name change is easy. But this transformation, this way of being changed, yeah, that's our experience. Our old habits are not so easy to stop. It takes years or, yeah, decades to be changed, to be renewed, to be transformed into his image. Even to grow in life. The plants, they grow normally. But as Christians, why do we grow so slowly? Because we carry the flesh around with us. And because we have the fallen self. That is always against the Lord. It says, no, no. My daughter, they have a dog. And this morning, when my son-in-law and I saw the dog. Look, your dog, he has learned to be obedient. When they see the master, they are obedient, and he says, stay, he stays. Be quiet, he's quiet. Yeah, he's obedient to people, but we don't listen to our Creator. We do the opposite of what the Creator tells us. Or are you always obedient? Yeah, are you always obedient? No, we are not. We are often rebellious. And that's why Peter wants to show us about the transformation. It is so important. If we don't look back where we come from, then we don't appreciate what we have today. Yeah, what standing we have today. That we need more transformation, even more change. We are not there. Not that I have attained yet. That's what Paul said. Yeah, we have to keep going. I want to come to the goal. If we think that I'm okay, or we don't have the sense of how far have I come and how much longer should I go. Maybe if you're disciples, then you don't think of that, but in my age, that's really necessary. Often I think back, and then I see, Lord, I need more change, more transformation. Give me more light. Strengthen my inner man. I want to come to the goal. Yeah, we don't have any time to lose. We see how important it is in the outline. Do we have an outline? Peter experienced so many things. Don't think that if we've seen Revelation, then everything's fine. Even the Lord gave him the keys of the kingdom. And then he missed the first test. Even Satan used him. How often does Satan use us to stop God's work? That's why Peter said, withstand the devil. He has learned to withstand the devil. And then the Satan flees away. He's not that courageous. But then we have to draw near to God. He learned how the Lord told him directly. Yeah? Do you want to follow me? And he said, yeah, I will follow you until the cross. Then he has to learn something again. Then he cannot do that. And in 1 Peter, he spoke so many things about suffering in the flesh. The Lord didn't just die for us, but he gave us an example that we should follow his footsteps, that we should also suffer in the flesh. He said, who suffers in the flesh has ceased from sin. That's what he experienced for sure. As an apostle of the Lord, he suffered a lot. But the apostles nowadays, the others suffer, but they don't. They get glory, they get praise, they will be lifted up by the people. Oh my goodness. Yeah, to have such a position, then he can't suffer. But suffer for the flesh, but he loves himself. The German language he doesn't like the others because suffering and like is similar. He spoke so much about sufferings. All the true apostles, not the wrong ones, they all came through suffering to perfection. But what do you want? Do you want much enjoyment or much suffering? Oh, yeah. Enjoy this, enjoy the word. I enjoy the fellowship. That is almost... what kind of word? How do you say in German? It's a habitual word. Yeah, it's a word we habitually use in your spiritual language. But I haven't seen much where the saints suffer. Or where they love the word suffering. In our natural men, we don't like suffering. We don't even like a bit of critiquing. When someone talks a bit about you, then you are so right away, you're upset. That it's a suffering for you. You're offended. The apostles don't like that. Or if only you say the teaching, and then you say, oh, that's not true, then you're in trouble. Because they can't suffer. But for the building up of the house of the Lord had to suffer a lot. But we need much more salvation. Suffering is salvation. We can't see that. How did you get the salvation from the Lord? by having a lot of enjoyment, but through suffering. That's why we got lots of salvation. Or here to suffer a lot so we can be saved. But now that we are saved, we also need a lot of suffering to be saved to the uttermost. That's why the Lord didn't he didn't preserve us from suffering, because we haven't learned yet. And so here we see what Peter said. And this feast we won't forget. Yeah, we to deny our soul. If you love the world, you can do that. But then when the true reward comes, you will lose your soul. But if you lose your soul life today, then you will gain it when the Lord is coming. So praise the Lord.
Amen.
I think I shouldn't say too much more. The brothers will continue to carry the burden. For sure they have to share a lot more things. May the Lord speak much more through them to us. But remember what Peter said is not so much teaching, but it's the reality. It's not like Romans, much of explanation of truth, much of doctrine and visions, or like in Ephesians. But here what John, James, and Peter wrote, it's mostly experiences. We can learn a lot from them. Close to the return of the Lord. Pay attention to the scriptures. May the Lord speak to us, and he will do it. The Lord be with your spirit. Do you have a question or anything else that you want to share? Okay. I will say goodbye. Tomorrow sometime we'll see each other. Praise the Lord. Amen. Bye-bye. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you that your word makes us healthy. And we pray that in this last time when you come, that we can be so humble, that we can be lowly and healthy and not forget where we come from, and can repent for everything that you show us. Thank you for such a word that you show us. Really make us healthy. As you know, all these things, we know that the Lord will come soon, and that the elements will go through fire. because we know these things, what kind of people you have to be in holy, in holiness. Let us have such a holy walk. Let us be undefiled, to not run away from suffering, but who has suffered in the flesh has stopped the sin. Lord, we want to stop sinning with the sin. Lord, save us, help us. Let us not take detours anymore, but let us go straight to the goal. We want to gain the crown. Lord, we thank you for your word this evening. Thank you, you've spoken to us richly. Lord, we want to continually repent before you and not forget the cleansing from our sins. Lord, we thank you for everything you've done on us. Lord, thank you. We pray that we will be safe to the uttermost. And we pray that you will continue the work of transformation in us, that we can have rich entrance into your kingdom. We praise you, Lord, for your speaking in the church. Lord, keep appearing to us in the coming days. Lord, we need your word to go deeply into our hearts and bring fruit. Lord, we thank you for your speaking to the church. Thank you, we don't have to follow fables. Thank you, your word is true. Thank you, that's our experience. Thank you for the reality through your word. Thank you for your living speaking. That's not a doctrine, but we want to hear your word through the Spirit. Thank you, you've spoken to us tonight. We want to continue to learn to deny our soul life, Lord, to lose our soul life, to gain you. Yeah, to gain you in the coming age. No, Jesus. Help us to be obedient children that don't say no when you speak, but do what you want. I read these days in Jeremiah in chapter 42, there were few people that were not carried to a Babylon, but they were also afraid that they would be carried to Babylon. And they said, Jeremiah should ask the Lord what they should do. And they said in verse 5, the Lord be a true and faithful witness between us, if we do not do according to everything which the Lord your God sends us by you. Whether it is pleasing or displeasing, we will obey the voice of the Lord, our God, to whom we send you, that it may be well with us when we obey the voice of the Lord, our God. And I like this plan, this will. Oh, I want to do the same. I want to listen to the Lord and do what he's saying. But the answer that Jeremiah has is different than what we think. And Jeremiah talked to him. God spoke to Jeremiah later, and God spoke differently to him what he said. And God said, you should stay in this land and not go to Egypt. And when this answer came like that, And in 43, verse 2, they said, "You speak lies. The Lord our God has not sent you to say, 'Do not go to Egypt to dwell there.' But Baruch, the son of Neriah, has set you against us to deliver us into the hand of the Chaldeans, that they may put us to death or carry us away captive to Babylon." And that really admonished me, not say, but really, truly obey the Lord, even if it's not according to my concept. And you could see the fear that was leading them. It was stronger than the obedience towards God. And what's important that we don't just say it, but we do it. That we have this wish to obey the Lord, and we say, "Lord, we want to obey you," and then we also do it. The first letter talks about First Peter. It says Peter, a servant, and the second one, Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Christ. So further growth from First Peter to Second Peter. Yeah, he becomes lower. May it also be with us. I was really touched tonight that you are aware of your past. These last few days, I asked myself how I will live the coming year if the Lord gives us another year and comes back. And I thought, oh, I have been 16 years in the church life, that I would do differently than what I did before. And then yesterday I thought, oh, I'll just forget about it, I can't change it. But today I thought, maybe I shouldn't forget, not to condemn myself, and I don't want to be suppressed by it, but I want to repent. I want to remember what didn't go so well in the last few years so that I can repent and I can change what wasn't so good. And that really spoke to me. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ. This word really spoke to me. Simon Peter. And the Lord really changed the name of Simon to Peter. He didn't just change the name, but Peter was transformed. He had a change in his nature. And that's really precious. And that can give us hope. The Lord wants to change our nature, our being. In the outline, there are a few verses about Simon Peter, and we've read through them. And he was such a man that was imperfect. He didn't do what was good, but that was his old nature. But that's not how it stayed. The Lord really wants to change us. And he wants to transform us. And that's an encouragement for us. Then we can be changed from the Lord. By the Lord. in Hebrews 12 it says the Lord wants to do such a transformation work in us. Yeah, if he chastens us, he corrects us, and he admonishes us. Peter was often chastened by the Lord and admonished and corrected, not because the Lord wanted to condemn him, but the Lord wanted to save him. And that's the same for us. When the Lord speaks to us, it's not for our condemnation, but the Lord wants to save us and wants to transform us. And that's why it's so important that our being is changed. And it was so good to see, if we look back, the Lord has done so many things. I'm so glad the Lord, I'm not the same as I was 5 years ago. And I, on the other hand, I know there's much more to do for the Lord. But we can have this faith and this hope that the Lord will complete it in us, how he did it in Peter. He wants to also change our name. He wants to change our being. And Peter is such a good example. He stayed with the Lord. He said, Lord, where shall we go? You have words of life. That's why we have to stay with the Lord. Amen. I also want to emphasize what was said and support. When we were coming here on our way, we read the introduction of 1 Peter and 2 Peter, and Sophia noticed that in 1 Peter it says, in 2 Peter it says, a bondservant. A bondservant is someone who lives for the will of someone else. And it's not that against our will we do the will of the Father. And in this name of Simon Peter, you can see the long way that Simon Peter went. Yeah, like from the crucifixion of the Lord to him being crucified himself, there was such a change. And then afterwards he could say he's a bondservant of the Lord. And that's where we need this transformation. And that's where we say, I want to give myself fully to the Lord. I want to be bondservant, not do my own will, but do his will. We need this transformation. That we can say we're bondservants of the Lord. Amen.